It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along with The Journey. Daniel Pryor and I take every time we have the Sound Mind broadcast. Hello there, Mr. Pryor.
Yes, good afternoon.
Working hard on your rentals, I guess, or a rental that's giving you a lot of headaches lately.
Yeah, that's that tool belt, but it doesn't fit anymore.
Well, we're talking about different kinds of tool belts, belts of how to deal with issues in our life. Mm-hmm. This week, an issue that's coming up, you're saying off air, a lot of people who've been coming to you. And this happens to a lot of people. You're trying to help them with self-destructive behaviors, mm-hmm. kind of self-sabotaging behaviors. And this mm-hmm. week, you want to address the issue of satisfaction and confidence and how to build that in our lives.
And I also get quite a number of people who are successful in life, and mm-hmm. they just kind of reach a point where, you know, what's it for? It's almost like they're, you know, Maslow would say, they're not quite self-actualizing. They haven't seen the bigger picture. And I have people mm-hmm. that it just seems like everything they touch turns to gold, but mm-hmm. they're just not satisfied mm-hmm. in life. Mm-hmm. And other people who have all the potential of doing well in life, but for some reason they self-sabotage and they feel like they're missing some parts in life. And so, yeah, this is going to be on satisfaction in life and confidence. And we're going to talk about things that I've talked about before, because as I've said, kind of my view of mental health is that it's not easy, but it's simple. We're not that complex, and really the things that affect us and trouble us are really all spoken about in Scripture. You know, a lot of times we get this idea of mental health, like the medical field, where, well, you know, they don't say anything about the thyroid in the Bible, so we've discovered some things, or they don't talk about frontal lobes or, you know, schizophrenia or things like that. So maybe some things have occurred in culture that God wasn't counting on, and so, but I just don't find that to be true. You know, the ADD, the OCD, all the various things. The alphabet soup in my brain is I can't. Okay, so we, you know, PTSD. We know what these
many different disorders.
Maybe different disorders, but God didn't miss. God's not flat-footed in this. He didn't miss this. This was this is all in Scripture in different terms, and the fundamentally the issues are there. Life is a pursuit of value, control, and power. And I've said this before. We all have fear. We all have shame. Basically, the fear is our mortality. But we don't go around measuring our mortality. But we do go around measuring. We have three things that we use to measure kind of our life quality, and in one sense, our immortality, and that is. We all want to be valued. We all want to have control over the things that impact us in life. That is, I'm not interested in controlling other people. I just don't want to be controlled by other people, mm-hmm. which means I have to control other people. Mm-hmm. So it amounts to the same thing. And power or resources. We all want to feel that we have you know, enough bread in the pantry or the parlor and enough food in the bank and to do the thing. You know, if we want to go to vacation or have some education, do I have the resources to do that? Do I have the physical resources? Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking earlier, mentioned about the work I've been doing on a house trying to get it ready. And boy, the age is showing. There's things that I wanted to tackle, and I get in there saying, boy, I just don't have the oomph
anymore.
I'm going to have to hire some young guy to take care of this. And the physical resources.
I face my yard
anymore.
These days. So.
Yeah. All of our beliefs, all of our emotions, all of our behaviors have to do with these things. All of our beliefs, our emotions. And we've talked before on the show about that little train on the track where the bridge is out. Beliefs, emotions, behaviors. And beliefs, emotions, behaviors. Every behavior follows an emotion, which follows a belief. Even the fact that I'm using my hands to talk to you right now is a behavior that follows an emotion that follows a belief. So even if the belief is just a neurological balance, it's without a narrative. They all, beliefs, emotions, and behaviors, all have to do with feeling valued, having control, having power. So we can view our pursuit of those three things through different lenses. As I've talked about in my life perspectives, there's a lens that pursues value, control, and power through immediate gratification. And this is where you'd find people in what I would call a small world, where it's all about them, and they're prone to addictions and all kinds of behaviors, that repetitive behaviors that go along with that. There's a larger world where people pursue value, control, and power through acquisitions and achievements. And then finally, and this is what we aspire to, we pursue value, control, and power through surrender. And we realize that that's really, immortality is out of our hands. We have to put that in the hands of God.
And that's what you would say is a more biblical approach.
It is the biblical approach.
The whole
approach,
idea
yeah.
of dying to self. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is the proper yeah. way to deal yeah. with the things that... that you struggle with in life is just
absolutely.
Die to it.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, dying to self is counterintuitive.
It is very
so mm-hmm. Because the primary existential law is I must survive.
Right.
So today I want to focus on that one perspective, which is kind of the American dream, and the most that most Americans and Westerners look through this particular lens, this particular perspective on a daily basis. Why is there so much stress in societies that have so much material wealth? You know, shouldn't we be satisfied with all of these things? But as we've just suggested, no, because the only way we really are satisfied is when we come to that point of surrender. And that's not something that I do all day long. I probably come to that point of surrender at least 30 some times before I stop counting. Mm-hmm. Probably, I've counted the four. There's the four-way stops between my house and this office along One Certain Route. There are about six of them. And at every one of them, I have to surrender and because I want to preach a sermon. Right. I want to get out and control traffic and direct maybe take away some driver's license. But I have to surrender and realize that, life is in God's hands. We're always comparing these people that I see in myself too, the person I see in the mirror.
This seems to be you're right, American society, Western society. I think a lot of Asian cultures too is a pursuit of materialism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, interesting that you mm-hmm. should say that, Mark, because many years ago when I was still in school, I did this Native American studies, and the teacher was talking about how that the Native Americans didn't compete.
Mm.
That it was all peaceful. But then we were talking about the totem poles, and of course the totem poles represented how many picnics you'd thrown and how much wealth you had. So yes, there we found it even in the even in that
utopian
that
society, yeah, supposedly.
Yeah, they uh-huh. even competed there. Uh-huh. We always compare, and of course Corinthians says that Paul says in Corinthians that the people that do that they lack understanding. They don't understand life. If you're comparing one with another, we don't understand that we only can have that sense of value, control, and power through surrender. We fight it in the American dream through acquisitions and achievements. You are what you own. You are what you build. And if somebody else has a newer car, then that feels like a death experience to me until I go out and trump.
Well, this
them
is
somehow.
one of the commandments too. I would think it kind of ties the "thou shalt not covet."
Yeah,
and that's kind of an interesting one to be part of the main ten. But it does right there in the beginning. This is the setting up when you're trying to covet, trying to go after whatever what your neighbor has. You're bound for trouble. It's going to cause lots of problems.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments, I was talking to someone about that just for some reason. I can't think of the context, but just recently, and we were talking about how the Ten Commandments, rather than being just some hoops that God thought up, some rules, he said, well, if we're going to have a game, there have to be rules, so let's just say, oh, you can't covet. Rather than just thinking up fictitiously or just facetiously or capriciously, I think is the word I'm after, some law. They are really an unfolding of God's nature, as is creation. Mm-hmm.
And it's the one that's a thinking commandment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's always been interested about that one commandment.
Yeah.
Which is what we're having problems with. Mm-hmm. We want to have a sound mind.
Yeah.
Part of having a sound mind is not coveting, dying to self.
Yeah, actually, a lot goes into coveting and comparing. Mm-hmm. There's a there's a whole narrative and storyline that goes into about how I deserve this and as much as anyone, and I've been shorthanded or I've been short decked, or you know, haven't been dealt a good hand, or you know, God is against me. Ultimately, I think we do blame God after we've pointed the finger at everyone else. I think ultimately we really want to blame God for you know, not dealing me a better hand or something like that. And so Paul says, you know, when you're doing that, you don't understand. You're not understanding life. You're not understanding really God, and it's just not understanding our salvation, mm-hmm. the whole picture.
And it leads to the ultimate breakdown of society, which mm-hmm. is war. The Bible even says that. This covetousness, comparing, is what leads to wars.
Yeah, see, so. James, as the brother of Jesus, said, you know, this scripture came to mind for me, from whence come wars? And look that up, from whence come wars and fightings among you. They don't have to be national wars, but they certainly are, all those national wars, they're about value, control, and power. From whence come wars and fightings among you, even lust, even of lust, that war in your members.
Well, this seems to be a kind of a base instinct, too, that a lot of political systems mm-hmm. appeal to. You mm-hmm. know, again, this, the haves and haves not, mm-hmm. class warfare, all of this stuff.
Racism.
Has to do with comparing.
Yeah.
And which is the source of a lot of problems in our lives.
Yeah, just to finish that scripture, it would be good for listeners, go and read the fourth chapter of James. There's a lot in there. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. We're talking about that lens that we're through which we're pursuing value, control, and power. And this lens I call the external perspective. And that is that I am measured by what I own and possess and what I achieve. And so you are what you own, you are what you achieve. I'm pursuing value, control, and power through acquisitions and achievement. So you lust and you have not, you kill and you desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight war, yet you have not because you ask not. Ask not means I'm asking God. Well, why don't we ask God? I remember a story that I heard about the girl that wanted a dress, a new dress. She asked her mother, could I get a dress? And the mother said, well, we'll pray. And the daughter said, looked a little disappointed and said, but I wanted a new one.
Right.
So a lot of times we don't ask from God because we feel like, well, we're probably not going to get the one we wanted. We're just going to get the one we needed.
Happened with me with a mini bike. I wanted a Honda mini bike, and my dad went out and found this a Coleman mini bike, and I thought, what?
This is a Coleman, son.
I've never heard of it. So, yeah, we've got to nip this stuff in the bud. Yeah. And satisfaction and confidence comes in a very counterintuitive mm-hmm. way that you're saying, enlarging our world through mm-hmm. surrender, dying to self. Bible-based counselors who you're listening today, Daniel Pryor. He has offices in Edmonds and Kirkland. And how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you find podcasts of these shows. Offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. I want to go back in time. I don't know what that is.
Maybe you'll get a third
Fear
office.
Fear of the future? I don't know.
Different days of the week or different locations, but great work. We'll continue with this discussion. Satisfaction and confidence, how to have it in a godly way, in a biblically based way, next as we continue with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland and Daniel discussing this week the idea of satisfaction and confidence. How do we get that in a godly way? Daniel, you were really expounding on this fourth chapter of James. Why don't we continue with some of those thoughts?
Yeah, and again, encourage listeners to read that whole fourth chapter. I'm just looking at the fourth verse here, or the fourth verse, I think it says, or third verse, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, and then that you can consume things on your own lust. So when we get around, I told a little story about the gal that wanted the new dress, and so she didn't want to ask God for the dress because she wanted a new one. So a lot of times we feel like, life kind of forces us into a place, and it's by design. Life leads us to God. That's not something that we intuitively want, because we're self-seeking, self-interested, and we just intuit, I think, that if we start asking God, he'll give us what we need and not what we want. And so James comes out and said, a lot of times you ask, so we're talking about a lens through which we pursue value, control, and power through immediate gratification, and what we aspire to is pursuit of value, control, and power through surrender. And so this would be a way that this would come about. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God. But the problem with that, the problem in that is that if I ask God, he's going to give me what I need, not what I want. So I'm not going to be able to consume this upon my lust. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to. And so that's going to change that's a paradigm change in life, and then it's about other people and not about me. And do I really want to go down that path? That seems so unfamiliar. I just want to jump ahead to the 10th verse. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And then it goes on to talk about, it talks about, God gives, he resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So picture myself, I'm pursuing value, control, and power through immediate gratification, or not immediate gratification, we're talking about acquisitions and achievements, and I feel unsatisfied and lack of confidence in life. And could it be that God in some way is resisting me when I'm doing it on my own strength and that? And so it's bringing me to that place of surrender where God gives grace and to the humble. Boy, it sounds good. I'd like to be there, I'd like to be that humble person receiving grace. It's the journey from here to there that I don't necessarily want. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to get there. I wouldn't mind being there. Unfortunately, life is a process, and every step of the way is intentional. There's nothing unintentional about the way God is leading you through your life. Every step is something you need, and I need. And so we need to embrace those. Ultimately, this idea of satisfaction and confidence in life is a spiritual question. Jean-Paul Sartre, atheist until his late years, when he embraced some kind of deism, I don't know if he was a deist or theism, excuse me. I don't know if he was a deist. If he was a deist, I'm sure that he met Christ at some time then. And I have my own beliefs about that. I believe that everyone has that final moment with Christ. He said that to paraphrase, no point of reference has any objective meaning without an ultimate or transcendent point of reference. Mm. So people can find purpose in life. My purpose is to sell this house, or my purpose is to buy that yacht, or my purpose is to build this school. But if those, that can still be a fractured life and a fractured view, that can still be an accomplishment or achievement unless there's some that ultimate or transcendent point of reference, which is God, which gives all those other points meaning. It pulls them all together. And so it becomes a spiritual question where people are, we talked about, or mentioned someone who has all the potential in life to do great things, but self-sabotages or out of fear finds a way to fail, or someone else who...
So what is going on with that self-sabotaging? Why is that happening? Some people have it more pronounced. Obviously, the most pronounced expression of that is somebody who commits suicide. So why self-sabotage?
Well, there are a couple ways of approaching an answer to that. One would be, we've talked about on the show before, reasons why I can't be satisfied when it's all about me. And so when life is about me, I can't be satisfied. And so people will, also people have maybe grown up with, I say about parenting, you can't pass on the values you had, you can, or wish you had, you can only pass on the values you have. So a lot of times they'll have a parent that lacks personal confidence. I'm ashamed because my dad was ashamed. He's ashamed because his dad was ashamed, and back, internalized message of lack of worth, which we all have. And different people address that lack of worth in different ways. Some people have learned through modeling to achieve. And some people have learned to call off the race or quit before you lose. And so it's different ways of, again, protecting myself and defense mechanisms. And the trick sometimes is teaching people to work through those, have a plan and steps to actually get through those processes of self-sabotaging. And but you know what's important is that a person that will self-sabotage, even a person with that kind of low self-image, even if they achieve something, rather than change their mind about their worth, they're more likely to devalue the thing they achieve. They're more likely to say, well, I guess anybody could have done it.
Okay.
And so it really is about them. And so, again, it isn't easy, but it's simple.
It might look like humility or self-deprecating behavior, but it maybe isn't.
Yeah. So let me just address here quickly in very general terms, some things that I try to help people work on when they come with this. The key is getting your life centered, obviously, and not comparing yourself with other people. But, you know, what is my life? And that really comes back to the spiritual question, you know, what am I here for? What is God saying to me?
Right.
What's he telling me to do? Remember the two disciples on the beach?
Right. And who's going to be greater in the kingdom, this guy or me?
Or I was thinking of the one where Jesus is saying to Peter, you know, feed my sheep, and Peter's pointing at John. Well, what about him?
What's
he going to do? You know, comparing, and so getting our lives centered and being purpose oriented. What's my purpose? And I continually ask myself that. What am I supposed to be doing for you now, Lord? And so we need to keep that. That's how you eliminate things like dysfunction and bad choices and anger and disappointment. Is by maintaining that center. The Bible says where there's not a vision or a progressive vision, some translations say, the people wander in circles or aimlessly, and so we find ourselves going in circles in life because we don't have that, you know, what is the purpose of my life? What's your destiny for me?
That's your first thing on here, growing your world toward a destiny.
Yeah. Growing your world is one thing. Make my world bigger, we've talked about, through deepening my relationships and following challenges. But again, no point of reference has an objective meaning unless there's a transcendent point of reference. So what's the destiny? Again, asking God, you know, what is, and that can be sort of a moving target sometimes, because sometimes we hear God. We do hear God, I think, filtered through where we are in life right now. So it's not something that we can often not something that I can just get an answer for once. Although I think God does speak to us at times about on the bigger picture. But a lot of times it's we're asking about something more immediate. You know, what's line me back up with my destiny? You know, it's like on the trail on a hike, and I need to climb on a rock and get a view of that alpine lake that I was hiking toward, because I've been seeing nothing but dusty trail for
down in the trees.
Yeah, so we need to get that perspective. Mm-hmm. Another thing is I talk to people about, it's got to be about other people. As long as it's about you, you can't be satisfied or confident. Why not confident if it's about me? Because confidence in, you know, that confidence is in the context of comparing with other people. Mm-hmm. When it's not about you and you're always comparing yourself with other people, you can't possibly be confident because you're always looking for the person that does it better than you, because you have to keep measuring. So it's about eternal things is the third one. You know, make it about eternal things. And this is where it's an uphill climb for us, because we live in a now world and a material world, and making it about eternal things is a laying down your life daily. You can't just, I laid my life down 40 years ago. it's a daily, almost a moment. As I said, you know, at every four-way stop for me, at least. How do we maintain our lens? This is number four. What about this lens of pursuing value, control, and power through surrender and this, you know, eternal things and about other people? How does the young man cleanse his ways? We take from Psalms 119. How does the young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. And this is, we can think of that word as the written word. If you get stuck in the genealogies, I think you'll have a tough time applying that. So this has to be something God is speaking to you also through the word. What does it mean to take heed? It means to hear and obey. This is how you cleanse your ways. You have to walk. We have to be walked, which brings up the whole thing of like even a three-minute devotion in the morning, something, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, something in the devotion where you're starting your day off with a conversation with God, and maybe a verse, but at least a prayer. A verse is good, memorization if you could, or something, but certainly something every morning to get yourself in the habit of walking with God. Someone once said, a man who lives without prayer lives without God, and I think that's absolutely true. Mm.
Okay, well, good information this week, how to have a life that's biblically satisfied and confident, not worldly, which has afflicted so many people, our materialistic society, not good. If you've been kind of run down by the rat race, or maybe you know somebody is, maybe your husband or your wife is overworking and getting all their confidence from their work, Daniel wants to provide maybe some different answers for you. If people need help, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
You can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. This show will be podcasted there.
You have many podcasts on the website.
Probably almost a little over 2 years. And also offices in Kirkland and Washington, Kirkland and Edmonds. Good grief. Having trouble with that today.
Well, when you started the show, you did have Kirkland and Bellevue.
Or
maybe it was Edmonds and Bellevue.
I don't know why the needle is skipping back to that.
Kirkland, Bellevue, they kind of all run together over there. So, but Edmonds and Kirkland.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. And more details as well at kcisradio.com. This has been Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.